Let us rise to worship the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us praise God by singing together from Psalm 8, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Let us now make profession of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and after that let us rise and sing together hymn 4, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4, hymn 4, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4, after the Creed. Let each of you say with me in his heart as follows, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. Was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us now humble ourselves before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have graciously made your covenant with us and our children. In the covenant you give us all such rich promises. We are your people and you are your God. We thank you for those promises that you will be our gracious Father, that your Son has died for our sins, and that your Spirit will work in us the benefits of the death of your Son. In your covenant you also make very clear that we must walk before you and be blameless, that we must respond and live as your covenant people. We thank you that you give us your word to instruct us how to live. To that end we pray that you will bless the proclamation of your word this afternoon, as we hear what your word teaches about the third petition of the prayer your Son taught us. Lord, keep sin and distraction far from us. And may your Holy Spirit work in us that we may understand and go to work with your holy word. Hear our prayers, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's one announcement this afternoon. Following the election, the consistory appoints Brother H. Lambers, Brother R. Maring, Brother J. Torrenfleet to the office of elder, and to the office of deacon, Brother F. Ballast. If no lawful objection is brought forward, ordination will take place, the Lord willing, the 30th November in the morning service. Your offerings this afternoon are requested for the work of Eucalypt. And after we have brought our offerings, let us sing together the praises of our God with the words of Psalm 112, stanzas 1 and 3. Psalm 112, 1 and 3, after the offering. in connection with what we confessed in Lord's Day 49 of the Catechism about the third petition. Our scripture reading this afternoon is from one passage in the Old Testament, Genesis 1, 26 to 31, and then from the New Testament, Romans chapter 12. So first of all, the Old Testament, Genesis 1, we begin reading at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's turn now to the New Testament, to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And we read chapter 12, the whole chapter. Romans chapter 12, we begin reading at verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. From so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Let us now rise and sing together from Psalm 119, verse 13, a psalm that prays to the Lord, he will direct us in his way. Psalm 119, stanzas 13, let us do that standing. Thank you. The text for this afternoon's proclamation of the gospel is God's revelation about the third petition, as the church has summarized that, and we together as believers confess that in Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Let's read that Lord's Day together. What is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will, and without any murmuring obey thy will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. After the preaching of the gospel, we sing in response and praise of the words of Psalm 148, stanzas 1 and 2. Psalm 148, stanzas 1 and 2 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why do we have the Lord's Prayer? Because the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. In other words, show us, guide us as to what we are to pray for. So each petition our Lord gave us is full of rich instruction. And in this third petition, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray with a very wide perspective. He teaches us to think of the whole earth. Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So listen to the instruction of our great prophet and teacher as he teaches us how to pray in this third petition. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray for an earth full of heavenly obedience. We'll see three things. First of all, where we pray that God's will may be done. Secondly, why we pray that God's will may be done. And finally, with what certainty we pray that God's will may be done. So the theme, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray for an earth full of heavenly obedience. First of all, where we pray that God's will be done. Second point, why we pray that God's will be done. And finally, with what certainty we pray that God's will may be done. First thing we have to have clear in our minds is what we mean by the will of the Lord. The Bible speaks about God's will in two different ways. First of all, it speaks about the hidden will of God. That's God's plan for the history of the world, which God made before time began. His plan according to which all things happen. The plan which included the disappearance of that MH370 airline, plan which includes earthquakes and tsunamis, the plan which includes the hairs which will fall out of my head tomorrow. That's God's hidden will. But then, congregation, we also speak about God's revealed will. And they're the things that God wants man to do. Already in paradise, God revealed his will to man. God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. God revealed his will later on at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. And God continues to reveal his will in the New Testament, the command of the gospel, repent and believe. That's God's will. The practical instructions we read from Romans chapter 12, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be patient in tribulation, and so on. And it's this revealed will of God that we are speaking about in this petition. When we pray, your will be done, we are asking that the things that God has told mankind to do, that those things will happen. His revealed will in his commandments and in the commands of the gospel and in all the other instructions he gives to man in his word. And congregation, take note of the places referred to in this petition. Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Earth and heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ did not teach us to pray, your will be done in our hearts or your will be done in our lives, but your will be done on earth. If he had said, taught us to pray, your will be done in our hearts, that would be to put the focus on us as believers. And of course, that's included in this petition. But we're actually asking for a lot more. Jesus Christ teaches us to focus on the whole earth. And so this petition takes us back to the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens, that's the place God created for His dwelling place. As we read in Psalm 103, the Lord has established His throne in heaven. It's where the angels serve in God's presence. From heaven, the angels are sent out to perform their God-given tasks. And in the beginning, God also created the earth. An earth on which the waters were separated from the dry land so that there could be a place for people to live. An earth in which God planted all kinds of vegetation, in which He put all the animals. An earth which God filled with all kinds of minerals and resources. And this earth, the Lord gave to man. He set him as Lord and Master of bird and beast in forest, field and pasture. God placed man in this world, gave him a task there to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and to rule the earth, to tend it and keep it, look after it to God's glory. So with this petition, our Savior directs us to man's task in this world. Your will be done on earth, on that earth which You, Lord, made to be man's giant workplace. And if it is the earth, then it cannot be that we only pray that the believers are obedient. Your will be done on earth, that is, may it be that every last person does Your will, for they've all been placed on earth. And did you notice, congregation, how broad the catechism is in the explanation of this petition? Grant that we and all men, not just the church, but we and all men may do Your will. And again, grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling. In this petition, our focus is on all mankind. Notice too those beautiful words, office and calling. Office speaks about the task God gives people. When we use that word, we normally think first of all about the office bearers in the church. They have an office given to them by God. But actually, congregation, you are all office bearers. You've all been given tasks by God. You're all called to be prophets, priests, and kings. And that's not just true of us believers, but of all men. When God created Adam, He made him in the image of God. That means Adam had the task to rule over creation as a faithful ruler, develop it, use it to the honor of God. Through the fall into sin, men and women became completely incapable of carrying out this office. But just because they are no longer able to fulfill it, does not mean that they have no more obligation. By virtue of their being created and being descended from Adam, all men and women have the calling to serve the Lord as His image. It's the believers who are restored in the image of God, so that they can carry out their office again. But it remains the obligation of all men. And so, congregation, does it drive you to prayer? When you see so much disobedience in the world, how many millions in this world do not serve as the Lord calls them to? How many millions are idolaters? And so rather than serve as God's images, they serve images of gods of their own making. Does that bother you? But there are so few who do the Lord's will on earth. Does this fact make you urgent in your praying, Father, Your will be done on earth? Do you think about the earth? The earth which God created and then placed man in so that He might rule it to God's glory? We confess the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Our confession means this earth is not neutral, but it's something God created for His glory. That's the urgency behind this petition. May Your will be done on earth, the earth which You created as the place in which mankind would serve You. It's what we need to think about when we consider the locality around us, the localities in which we live, city of Rockingham, the state of Western Australia, this beautiful land of ours, this wide world, created by God as the place where man would serve to His glory. Father, may Your will be done on this earth. What then are we praying for? That all men may obey the Lord in this world, that everywhere people may do His will, that they may serve Him, that they may obey His commandments. A petition which really is crying out that many more may come to faith and serve the Lord. It's a petition which also touches every part of our lives. When we pray the third petition, we are asking that God's will be done by us in whatever place He puts us on this earth. Be it caring for little ones at home, teaching students, balancing books, or building kitchens. Father, work it in us that we do Your will where You have placed us. Children, boys and girls, this is a petition for you to pray as well. Father, may Your will be done when I am at school. Help me to be loving and kind on the playground as You want me to. The school and the playground, that too is part of the earth. Father, work in us that we may do Your will in our homes, that I may faithfully carry out my task as housewife, looking after my family. Give me what I need in the workplace to do Your will in the midst of a society that often has little time for considering what God's will is. Father, may Your will be done with respect to the upbringing of our children. May they be taught and instructed and disciplined with a view to them submitting to Your will. Father, Your will be done in every part of the earth. May Your will be done as I suffer difficulties and must trust in You and have patience day after day. As it is in heaven. The Lord Jesus points us to the example of the angels who work from heaven, who do God's will, who rush to do God's will. They delight in serving Him and they do God's will perfectly. They cut no corners, they leave no part undone. They faithfully do every part of the task which God sends them to do. And so in heaven there is a wonderful sight. Angels willingly, faithfully doing the will of God. We know that God's hidden will, His plan, that always comes to pass, both on earth and in heaven. What God has planned, what's included in His plan, will happen. But in heaven, God's revealed will also comes to pass that consistently. God commands and the angels do, willingly, immediately, precisely. Father, may earth look like heaven. May the earth be as full of willing and faithful obedience as heaven is. May the earth be filled with Your glory as all those You have placed on it carry out the duties of their office and calling. Which brings us to consider, in the second place, why we pray that God's will may be done. We need to consider, first of all, why we pray that God's will be done. That's because it alone is good. That's true in two respects. On the one hand, God's will is good because it is that which is pleasing and acceptable to God. That's what God delights in. But it's also good in that God's will is for our good. As we read in Deuteronomy 10, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command you today for your good." For Israel to keep God's commandments, to do His will, would be for their good, would lead to their being blessed. Also today, God's commandments are not burdensome, but they are for our good. God's will is good. our will is good only when it is conformed and in agreement with God's will. Only when we desire what God wills. The Bible makes clear that the will of the righteous, what they desire, that that's conformed to the will of God. The righteous delight to keep God's law. With this petition, we are essentially asking that God's will become our delight. Sometimes we will not know immediately what the will of the Lord is. The Bible speaks about the importance of finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It takes study of God's word, meditation on that word. The man who meditates day and night on the law of God, we are told, he is able to bring forth fruit. That fruit of knowing what is obedience in each and every situation. In Romans 12, we are instructed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That means that we might become and remain aware of what is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. Notice, beloved, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind in order to be able to become aware of what is good. Inner transformation is required. We need to be renewed spiritually. That's what we are praying for. We need to know and do the will of God wherever we have been placed on this earth. In our daily job, we need to do God's will there. In the circumstances and challenges that face us in our home and family, oftentimes the will of God will be clear. I need to be honest. I need to work diligently. I need to look after those under my care and so on. But sometimes it can be difficult to know what to do in this or that situation. What is the will of the Lord? Which is why it's so important that we pray for this. Your will be done. Help us even to understand what your will is. We need to pray that God's will be done, also congregation, because it goes against what is natural for us. We need to deny our own will. In this context, my will, that's what I want. By our own will, we can think, first of all, of ungodly desires and worldly lusts. In Titus 2, we are instructed that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. These are the things we want by nature. That's why we must deny them, say no to them. We won't do God's will automatically. But we need to pray that God will work that in our lives. God's will says one thing, but I'm tempted to set my heart on something else. It's what makes me reluctant to do God's will readily and cheerfully. God's will is that I do my task as father or mother, raising my children in the fear of His name, instructing them, disciplining them as they have need of it. But I'm tired. I want to take it easy for a while after a difficult day at work. How we need to pray this petition, Father, your will be done, not my will. Make me faithful to my office of parent. My inclination is to gossip, to speak about others behind their back. Pray, beloved, your will be done. Grant that I may faithfully fulfill the duties of my prophetic office to speak the truth in love. May I carry out the duty of my priestly office, offering my body to you as a sacrifice of thankfulness. May I carry out the duties of my kingly office, fighting against sin and temptation. Pray in every situation, beloved, your will be done. Do you earnestly pray this third petition? Father, help me to say no to myself. Help me to deny my own will and submit to yours. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about denying ourselves in Matthew 16. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This shows us that the denying of our own will also includes denying ourselves in things that might not be wrong and evil in and of themselves. In this context, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about losing your life for His sake. doing the will of God, following the Lord Jesus Christ, can sometimes take big sacrifices. To have certain things and to enjoy them is not wrong in itself. For example, life, or material possessions, or friends and family, or a particular career. The way God leads our life means we have to sacrifice one or more of these things. It means that we have to give up something that was not wrong in and of itself. That sacrifice can be hard to make. But if that's what it takes for us to continue to do God's will in our circumstances, then that's what we must do. It's what can often make it hard to do God's will. The cost involved. Which is why, congregation, it's so important to pray, Father, your will be done. Help me to do your will in my situation, even as it requires big sacrifices on my part. Help me to do your will, even when that means passing up a lucrative offer, because it would cry me to compromise my faith. We need to pray this petition so that we deny our own will and obey God's will without any murmuring. There's also that aspect, that we have the right attitude in doing God's will. That we don't do it grudgingly, dragging our feet, but willingly. That when the sacrifices need to be made, that we do it willingly, joyfully. God led Israel into the wilderness to test them, to see what was in the heart of His people. Would they obey Him joyfully and willingly and faithfully? He revealed to them His will, that they trust in Him, that they expect all that they needed from Him, their Savior, that they submit to the leadership of Moses. And we know what happened. Repeatedly they grumbled. They murmured. They complained that the way God went with them was too difficult, that it was not right. In this petition we are asking, Lord, as You lead us through trials and tribulations of life, as You put difficulties on our path, grant that we may do Your will without grumbling and complaining, without saying, that's not fair, it's too much for me. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, Father, change us. Make us as obedient as the perfect angels. Work it in our hearts that we don't drag our feet when it comes to doing Your word, will, but that we may do it readily, quickly, cheerfully. Grant that all our excuses and back chat may be silenced. Fill us with heavenly obedience. Grant that we may be as quick to do what You say as the angel was who was sent to the shepherds to proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ. Congregation, are we in faith praying this petition? Are we seeking that heavenly obedience in our lives? Are we seeking from Him all we need to deny our own will? Are we earnestly asking from God that what goes on in our homes is characterized by an obedience performed as readily and cheerfully as that found among the angels in heaven? Do we pray for that in our workplace, in our entertainment? No cutting of corners. And that brings us to our final point, with what certainty we pray that God's will may be done. God's will is carried out perfectly in heaven. That's why the Lord Jesus gave heaven as an example. But God's will is not yet done perfectly on this earth. In our own lives, we all fall so far short. We remain in a sinful and weak flesh and must daily contend with the weakness of our flesh. And Satan will do what he can to prevent God's will from being done on earth. He wants to establish his system more and more and remove obedience to God's will. And he's full of schemes and tricks. Yet this does not mean that this petition is a waste of words. For God has promised to more and more work heavenly obedience in our lives. In Colossians 3, we are instructed to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, because we have been raised with Christ. In other words, we've been given new spiritual life in Christ, and we can seek to live in accordance with this new life. We're told to set our minds on the things which are above. From the context, that means heavenly obedience. And we are told to seek this because that's what's been promised to us in Christ. We're able to live albeit with weaknesses. We are able to live a new life of heavenly obedience, for we, congregation, are made new creatures in Christ. With this petition, our Saviour instructs us to ask the Father that He might give to us the benefits of Christ's completed work. In Him we are restored so that we can live as image bearers of God on this earth, doing God's will in every aspect of life. These are things that have been promised to us in Christ. Do you see God answering this prayer, beloved, when young people make profession of faith? When they obey the command of the gospel to repent and believe in Jesus Christ? Do you see God answering this prayer in your life as you see a growth in obedience? In the first point, we heard that in this petition we are asking God that the earth be filled with those who obediently do God's will. For the earth was created by God as the place where man would serve God in faithfulness. And that means that this petition will not have been completely answered until there are no more sinners on the earth. Until there is no more disobedience or rebellion on this earth. Until that time, heaven will remain an example to earth. But this period in which the obedience in heaven will be an example for those who dwell on earth will not last forever. The day is coming when heaven and earth will both be characterized by perfect obedience to God. The day when the New Jerusalem will descend from heaven to earth, when the dwelling of God will be with men. Then heaven and earth will be one, and then the earth will be filled with heavenly obedience. When we pray this petition, congregation, then we are asking God to prepare us for that day. Prepare me today, Lord, so that when the day comes, when the earth is only full of those who willingly and cheerfully do your will, that I may feel at home there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. Our Father in heaven, how good it is that we are allowed to be instructed by your holy word. By nature we are blind and foolish, but you allow us to hear your word and so gain in wisdom and understanding. May we go to work with what we have heard this afternoon. May we indeed seek that your will be done in every aspect of our lives. May we faithfully carry out the duties of our office and calling. Wherever you have placed us, in the home, in the office, in the workplace, classroom or elsewhere, may we all go to work with your word so that we are clear as to your will for all the different parts of our task. Keep us from doing things just because we feel like it, but grant that we may always be very conscious of what your will is. Will you also then work in us through your spirit that we may have the strength to perform your will, that there may be obedience in our lives. May we indeed be as obedient as your faithful servants in heaven, those angels who do your word and will. Yes, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to deny our own will and to do your will without any murmuring. We confess that sometimes it's hard to deny ourselves, particularly when we are called to make big sacrifices. Help us, Lord, to do your will willingly and cheerfully. And grant too that not only we, but all men may obey your will. To that end, we pray, bless the spread of the gospel, that many may still come to obedience to you. Bless us in our witnessing, that from our actions and words, it may be clear to those around us what your will is for man. Bless the government at all levels, that also those endowed with public office may do your will. You teach us that your will alone is good. And in the breakdown in our society, we see the consequences. Also those in high places refusing to do your will and doing their own instead. Father, may this change. May your will alone be done, for it alone is good. Be with us in the remainder of the week that lies before us. May we indeed go back to our daily tasks with rejoicing, seeking to do your will. Give us all we need for this. May so your kingdom come. And your name be hallowed. Hear us in the forgiveness of our sins, for we pray in Christ Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us now rise and sing together our final song, Psalm 103, stanza 8. Receive the blessing of the Lord, triune God, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.